And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him." I think that's really interesting, the fact that it said he's going before you to Galilee. You go there and you will see him there. By the end of their trip to Galilee, they would have known whether Jesus had risen from the dead or not, right? I like that. God always offers us the opportunity to test him out. What say you? I mean, if he hadn't risen from the dead, they wouldn't see him there. I love it. Okay, sorry, that was just a side thing. "See, I've told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." Nice, huh? He's just gone through crucifixion. He rises from the dead. First thing he says to them is, "Greetings." Nice. "And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" So Jesus again is saying, test it out, try it out and see, okay? And I would want to say to each one of you who have any doubts about this, whether Jesus actually can be seen, whether he really rose from the dead, just go and try it out. Okay, and we'll talk a little bit about that. I'd like to share with you something that kind of hooked me as I was reading this passage. The angel who had come with considerable power said to the Marys, "You are looking, or you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. You're seeking for Jesus who was crucified." I guess for most of us, for many of us, our vision of Jesus is one of Jesus who's been crucified. What say you? I would want to put it to you that actually that vision of Jesus will not help you that much. Not that his crucifixion is not precious or powerful, but it won't help you that much. Many people actually have a vision of Jesus who was crucified, a Jesus who died, a Jesus who's really noble, a Jesus who forgave our sins or took our sins and stood in our place for our sins. I guess that's mainly our vision of Jesus. But the fact that he's not only crucified, but actually he's risen, is the most important thing. Okay, that's the most important thing. Actually, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 7, Paul says, "And if Christ has not been raised, or risen, resurrected, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins." Now, what does that mean? He's saying if Christ was crucified, it would not actually have done you that much good. You would have probably admired him as a noble, sacrificial martyr who did it for his love for humanity. Now, most people have a vision of Jesus in which their vision of Jesus is that Jesus is a model of love. What say you? A model of sacrificial love and compassion. A model of tremendous bravery, tremendous courage, tremendous moral upstandingness. What say you? Okay, it is good. I mean, as far as that goes, but I can't do that much with that. What do you say? Easter is the central identified, but he rose from the dead. That he was not just a model of noble sacrifice, but he is more than that. Now, there are other Christians who have Jesus, who have this vision of Jesus as Jesus was crucified, and they benefit not just from the fact that he was a noble example for all of us, but the fact that He took our place for our sins. Now, I guess I can get more out of that. Because, you know, I have many sins. I don't know about you. But I got sins that I purposely don't want to remember. I've totally forgotten them. Except when I dream. And except when someone triggers them, then they rise up again. And the problem with my sins is that I keep on doing them. And so if you have a vision of Jesus who was crucified, your vision is that Jesus really took the place, took the punishment for my sins, so much so that I get a free pass. What say you? What do you think? Well, it's just true in some ways, but that doesn't do me that much good. You know why it doesn't do me that much good? I'm still the same person. I still have the same bondages. I still have the same dead ends in my life. I still can't overcome my own addictions. I can't overcome my own resentment, my bitterness, my wounds. I can't get past the things that happened in my life that have made such an imprint upon me, and Hephzibah was talking about it, that I am molded by them. So in some ways, I'm a product, I'm a prisoner of my past. And because of that, I would carry tremendous shame upon myself, because who I am, my identity, is shaped by my past. And it's shaped by my weaknesses. I'm stained with sin. And the fact that Jesus has taken the place for the punishment for my sins doesn't change the fact that I'm still the same person living in bondage. So that was the problem. And for some of us, we feel there's no future because of what's happened in the past. And I want to especially speak to you about that, especially those of you who feel that you've lost your future, or that your future is a dead end because of the fact of the past. Not only that, it's because of the fact of who we are inside. The Bible says if he hasn't risen from the dead, we are still in our sins. They may be forgiven, but we're still in it. In the sense that these sins, or that our bondages, or our addictions, or our weaknesses, still stay with us. Now, the resurrection has to do with not just the forgiveness of our sins, but the fact that those powers have been broken. I need saving. The reason why I'm dead, you know, Bible says, those who sin, the wages of sin is death. The idea of death is the fact that I can't help myself. I can't break out of my past. I can't break out of my human nature. I can't break out of my depression. And I believe that today is a special day in the sense that we can experience freedom from Christ today. We're predicated, we're having this meeting, this service, sorry, not meeting, service, and it's predicated upon the fact that Jesus, because he rose from the dead and defeated every power of sin, of the devil, we can be free. That we can actually be set free from our prisons. Whether it's prisons of our shame, of our past, or our mistakes, or choices that we've made, or things that people have imposed upon us, or that have branded us with, or that have imprisoned us with, we can be set free. And what we have here is a celebration of the fact that something happened, and you can actually live it and experience it today. What say you? But you have to try it out, right? And then if you try it out and find that it's not true, then go ahead. You can in good conscience say, okay, I've tried the Christian thing. Let's put that aside. Let's go somewhere else. What say you? Unless what God did really happened. Yeah? Let's really happen. Okay, let's have a look at this. I want to say that the resurrection of Jesus from the dead had to do with not just the fact that Jesus had power over death. If that's the case, then we can say, Jesus, you rose from the dead. Nice for you. Good for you. What about me? What he did was very, very important because, you know, let's put it this way. If you're a... actually, I can tell you an example that, of what happened in my aunt's life many years ago when she was a child. She tells me about this story in which she and their church group had gone on a picnic in the mountains where there was very fast-flowing streams, right? Streams, and some of these streams are very, very deep. And she could not swim. She could not swim. And so she was playing around in the water. And as she was playing around with the water, she began to drown. And she began to cry out for help. And I don't know why these guys went there. Hardly any of them could swim. Except one person. And he jumped in, but we found out that my aunt had been caught in a current that was so strong that it was pulling her down. It was pulling her down. And this person jumped in and tried to pull her out. But he was caught in the current as well. He was caught in the current as well. And somehow he got pulled down as well. As a result of that, he died. He was trying to save her, but somehow could not save himself. Now, somehow my aunt caught hold of something, and she doesn't even know why. She went under the water, she came out unconscious, and they gave her, you know, all the therapy that was needed, and she lived. But she never forgot that. That was always something that she would remember for the rest of her life. Yeah. But that man who tried to save her died. The resurrection is something like that. The resurrection has to do with the fact that when Christ came into the world, he came for you and me. He came for your hell. And there are some of us who are here who are living a living hell. You've experienced things that have taken place in your past, or you're even now experiencing things that have caused depression, that have caused discouragement, and have caused you to feel that there is no hope in your life. The fact that Jesus was crucified is important because of the fact that when he was crucified, the Bible says he took upon himself all our bondage. In Isaiah chapter 53, it says, he took upon himself all our pain, our burdens, our sorrows. Can you imagine that? Only a God can do that. Because I can't do that for you. Because I got my own sorrows. I got problems of my own. Okay? Don't tell me your problems. I got problems of my own. Many of us would say. But Jesus, because he is God, had the capacity to take upon himself every individual burden, every individual sorrow, every individual death that we experience, every individual hopelessness upon himself. Isn't that amazing? He didn't do it en masse. He did it for you and me. Your particular ones, your individual ones, your particular history. He took it upon himself and carried it upon himself so much so that its bondage, its power, the power of the whatever addiction that could be, was broken by him. The resurrection has to do with the fact that he did not just sacrifice himself for you, but he broke its power. The resurrection is powerful because of the fact that it was not just a compassionate thing that Jesus did, but it was a powerful thing. Only the God of this world can destroy the works of the devil upon our lives. Can you imagine that? That he, because of the resurrection, not only entered into the current of your hell and walked into your hell, he actually pulled you out and sacrificed his own life so that he could exchange your life with his life. That is what the resurrection is about. That is why resurrection is even more than the crucifixion. The crucifixion is necessary because of the fact that that we need to have our bondage dealt with, right? We need to have our problems, our issues, our past, our shame dealt with, and no one can deal with it. It's called death because we can't save ourselves. Now, I believe that today we try to clothe ourselves with all kinds of things to save ourselves. Yeah, to affirm ourselves, we approve ourselves. Isaiah chapter 46 says, you know, that the nation of Israel went to idols to protect themselves from the empire of Assyria. Assyria was coming, and there was tremendous trembling. And so what happened was that the kings of Israel and the aristocrats of Israel began to make idols. And they will talk to each other and say, it's good, this is good, you're doing a good job. And what happened is that instead of dealing with the problem of Assyria, they began to deal with the problem of their own sense of smallness, their sense of inferiority, by affirming each other. Isaiah 46 says, they make an idol and they say, this is good, this is good, this is good. Today, what we have done is that we have surrounded ourselves with all kinds of things that make us feel good and make us feel not guilty. And by making us deal with the feelings of guilt rather than the actual fact of guilt, we actually clothe ourselves with an unreal world. What say you? We have a world that is not coordinated with the external reality of what's really there. And we are more concerned about our feelings feeling good. You might as well put your brain in a vat rather than actually have it relate to the external world. But here's the thing. We have no way of saving ourselves because all we can do is to try to make our feelings better. Make our feelings better. Surround ourselves with right community or right people or good people. Shut up all those people who will criticize us. And create a new environment in which we are surrounded by technology. I was very interested to see when I first came to America, I noticed that everybody wanted to be like a TV personality. Dress like one, drive a car like one, talk like one, use the same kind of phrases. And then I began to realize in LA that everybody talks the same. Uses the same kind of catchphrases and all that. And there didn't seem to be that much originality because we lived out of a TV. We lived out of the media, so much so that we tried to sort of emulate these things and surround ourselves with something that will give us a momentary sense of good. Jesus didn't come to do that. What he did by his crucifixion was that he stripped all that away and allowed us to be laid bare before God. And then he entered into that hell. He entered into that hell. And when he entered into that hell, he confronted the devil. The demonic powers, the spiritual powers that hold us, not just feeling bad, but being bad. He held us, not because we are feeling bad, because we have a bad feeling about ourselves, but because of the fact that there's something inside us that is diseased. There's something really wrong. And I don't mean this to be a downer on Easter Sunday. It's because of the fact that Christ came. He didn't just patch it up. Didn't just fix it. He came and he entered into your hell and my hell. I don't know what your hell is. I don't know what your anxiety is, what your fears are, what your past is. But I can tell you this, that Jesus came in an infinite way and entered into each one of us, each one of our currents. Amen? I come from Malaysia, in which the spiritual realm is quite real. So there were two men that I've heard of, one who I actually met and had much to do with in my former church. The first man is a person who lived in a city called Sibu, which is in East Malaysia, in Sabah, North Borneo. And he was a doctor, a very rich man. And he had gone to one of John Sung's services. John Sung was a Chinese evangelist from China who had come to Southeast Asia, and God did a lot through him. But during one of his meetings, he was talking about sin. And this man, who was a doctor from that city, went right up to the pulpit and says, "I disagree with you. How can you say we have sin? We have sin." And scolded him, and then went out. The very interesting thing is that years later, newspapers came up with an article about this man. He had gone back to Singapore and began to live his life and ended up completely impoverished, homeless, because he had a gambling addiction that he could not get rid of. And he died in complete poverty, and the story was laid out. Now, what's really interesting is that he had gone to see a fortune teller, and the fortune teller told him, "You're going to die in poverty." The fortune teller, by demonic spirits, had been able to tell him that he had a gambling addiction. How did the fortune teller know? He's in the spiritual realm. And he told him, "You're going to die of that." And family members of this man who had died said, he would often say, "I cannot stop gambling. It's almost as if there's this power over me and I can't shake it off." And as he continued to live years in Singapore, his wealth began to be depleted to such an extent that nobody could live with him, and he died a pauper. The Bible says that there are powers that are in us that sometimes imprison us to such an extent that we can't get out of them. A very, very sad story. Hearing that story reminded me of another guy who came to my church, and he was about 52 years old. And he had just had a stroke, and through much therapy, he got better. He was the CFO of a large corporation in Kuala Lumpur, where we were. And he was not a Christian, he was a Buddhist, but he came and joined us. And he said, "I'm coming because I just saw my fortune teller. And my fortune teller, you know, you have a lot of people who are really educated, but they still believe in the spiritual realm in Malaysia. I don't know what it's like here, but you can find highly educated people who just know that there is a spiritual realm there." And he knew it. And he had gone to see his fortune teller, and the fortune teller blew him away. Because the fortune teller said, "You live under a curse. Your father died at 57. Your grandfather died at 57. He did not know that by any natural knowledge. And this friend of mine, his name is Sunny. Sunny said, "I was completely blown away by the fact that he knew my family history." He came to our church not in good health. And he said, "I'm 52 years old. I need to be set free from this because I can feel that I'm going to die at 57 years old or somewhere around there. 5 more years to go." And I shared with him that when Jesus died for us, he entered into our hell and defeated those powers. And if he can receive him, that power will be broken in his life. Because when Jesus went to that current of hell, he not only defeated him, but he rose from the dead. because that current of hell could not hold him. He rose from the dead because he had overcome death. Amen? That's why on the cross, the Romans did not kill him. He was stood on the cross and it says, then he gave up the ghost. Boom. He says, I have the power to give my life and take it up again by myself. So Jesus overcame death. And so Sonny came to me and said, 52 years old, he says, I don't know how to get out of this. All the males in my family died at the age of 57. And so we shared with him about this, and he received the Lord. And as he received the Lord, I began to see a darkness over his eyes, darkness over his face begin to lift. And as he began to lift, and the Holy Spirit came upon him, and the Lord came into his life, I could see that even before he was 57, life was flowing in him. A new life, the resurrection life of Jesus was flowing into him, and he was not the same again. Amen? He just died, actually, at the age of 89. He retired from this corporation and became our church administrator for many, many years. And then later, his whole family became Christians and all that. Because for the first time, a male in his family did not die. His son is 58 now. Amen? So there's something about what Jesus did on the cross that is important. I'm speaking to you, if you have a dead end in your life, if you've come to a place in which some things that have happened in the past have affected you so greatly that you can't get out of that mold, Jesus came because he rose from the dead and he defeated death. He defeated that dead end too. He defeated that for you and me. And not only was he crucified as a good man for you and loving and all that, that's fine, that's wonderful. He not only did that, but he was powerful enough to defeat the devil in your life. You can be set free. There are people who have experienced the past in such a debilitating way that you wonder whether you have a future or not. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says, he has caused us to be born again. To be born again. Not living the vestiges of a past life. Yeah, but born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, if he did not die, you would still be in your sins. You'll be still in that bondage. You would still be stuck in yourself. You will not be able to overcome we will not be able to overcome our bondages, our addictions, our stuff, our past. Amen? Jesus came to not only do good to us, but to set us free from that chain. I was just on the on email with a friend of mine in Malaysia. And I remember he had been in my church when I was very young. I was I was 15 years old, and he was older than me. And he had graduated from the University of Singapore as an architect and became a very successful architect. He got married to a woman in our church. And then after that, I didn't hear from him at all. And later found out that he had divorced this woman he had married because he had had an affair with another woman. And after a very, very heartbreaking time, divorced her. And so he married this other woman. Actually, he didn't marry that woman that he had been having an affair with, but he married subsequently. He broke up with that woman, married another woman, yeah. And I had not seen him for a long time. But the story goes that he was crossing the road with his new wife, who was pregnant with their child. And somehow, a car that was on the road spun out of control and hit his wife. She flew in the air and she fell on the road. And that day itself, he contacted us. We had not seen him for years. He had gone away from Jesus, from the Lord for a long time. And he said, "You know what? I don't know what to do. I know that what I did was terribly wrong, and I can't get past this. Will you pray for me?" He had been trapped in his past, and his past had brought him to a dead end. His wife was terribly injured and was carrying the child. We prayed and he confessed his sins. And then he realized after that Christ not only forgave him, but he broke the power of his past over his life. And as he was prayed for, he kept on saying, "How can God forgive me? How can I be forgiven for this? How can I not only be forgiven, but be given the permission to even ask for this baby to live, for my wife to live? I should not even be living with her." And that was the power of the cross, right? That's the power of what Jesus did. When he came, he broke the power of our past. So much so the Bible can actually say, without any kind of embarrassment, "Remember not the former things. Behold, I make all things new." The great thing about Easter is the fact that no matter how terrible your sin could have been, no matter how terrible your past, no matter how bad it was, Jesus has broken its power and can give you the audacity to think, not with any pride, but the fact that Jesus can actually give you back his life. Because of the resurrection of the dead, there is an inheritance for you for a future. If there's any of you who feel that you don't have a future, I tell you something, God has a future for you. Because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Amen? So it's not just crucifixion, not Jesus who crucified, but Jesus who rose from the dead. Amen? Oh yeah, I forgot to finish the story. So my parents and I went to the hospital and saw her completely emaciated. The baby's heartbeat was very faint. And so we all prayed. As we prayed for her, we began to see the fact that Jesus, it's unimaginable. But after all that, you can give him back his life? Could you give the baby back his life? For no good reason that we can claim for ourselves, but because of your fact that when you died, you entered into our hell and paid the price for it so that we could be resurrected in new life. Praise God. The heartbeat got better and better and better, stronger and stronger and stronger. And the baby survived. The wife survived. And now that whole family is serving the Lord and being used by him in a tremendous way. One thing I saw him one or two years ago. We had lunch together and he reminded me of that. And I could see something about his face. It's different. In the past, there was always that furtive look. Always a shadow on it. Now, a lot older, but God's shining through the wrinkles. Only God can do that. Amen? That's what Easter is all about. Easter is about the resurrection. God had to destroy the works of sin, destroy our past, and destroy the work of the enemy upon us. But he set you free so that you can have a new life. Amen? Praise God. And then he says to the disciples, "Meet me in Galilee." It was going to be about a 200-mile trek to Galilee. But at that time, they would find out whether he was really risen from the dead or not. And I want to invite you to check it out. Today, if you would like God to reveal himself to you, I have absolutely no doubt that he will. He said, go to Galilee. Twice he said, go to what the angel said it and he said it. Go to Galilee, I'll meet you there. And I wonder whether anybody wants to meet Jesus. If he's really real and he could really, really turn around our history, our past, our shame, our bondage, our addiction. He said, give me a try. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Because he rose from the dead, he is present here today with you and me. Because he is risen, he gives us a basis to say, I will not remember the former things, not as a psychological therapeutic ploy, but because of the fact that Jesus, when he went into our hell, destroyed hell and death. He broke every lock, every dead end lock upon our lives, so that we could be set free. I have no idea what we all have gone through, but I know this, that if you have a heart to be set free from your dead end, from your hell, from your depression, from your past, from your bitter experience that has, because of that past, affected your present, you can be set free. We have known many people in our church. You would never believe what they had experienced, but what God has done, like Hephzibah shared, and what Sissy shared, is truly miraculous. Invite him into your life, and he will show himself. As all eyes are closed, all heads bowed, if there's anyone who's saying, yes, Lord, I want a new life. I want to exchange my old life from the past with your life. Come into my life and show me. Show me whether he's real or not. If that's the case for you, as all eyes are closed, all heads bowed, please raise up your hands and then you can put it down. You can say, yes, I want to give my life to him. Yes, I see that. Yes. Anyone else? You're saying, yes, Jesus. I want a new life. I want to come out of my old, the past. Yes, I see that. Anyone else? You're saying, Jesus, if you really rose from the dead, I want not only forgiveness of sins, I want a new life. I need a new life. Give me one. I see your hands. Anyone else? Yes. Anyone else? You're saying yes. Yes, I see that. Close your eyes. If you don't want anybody to see you, just close your eyes and they won't see you. But you want to say, yes, I do want God. Anybody? Yes, I see your hand. Anybody else? Yes. Yes, I see your hand. Anyone else? The Holy Spirit, I believe, is moving. He's alive. He's not locked up in a book somewhere. But he's alive, and he's alive for you today. Even today, we can experience that. We don't need to have a lot of faith. We don't need to have a lot of knowledge. We just want to say, Lord, come into my life. Change it. Turn it around. Anybody else? Yes, I see your hand. If there's anyone else who's saying, I have a need, because God is here present, one of the things that we find in the Bible is that because he rose from the dead, his power is available to us to change us. Some of you may have sickness. Some of you may have intractable problems in our lives. But you can give it to Jesus. You can give it to him. And he promises to take it as his own. If you have a need, feel free to come up. We have a prayer ministry team that's ready to pray for you, pray with you. And if you have any need, feel free to come up and ask them to pray for you. Okay, let us close our eyes and pray. Lord, we thank you for your power, your presence, your love, that truly you did not rise from the dead just for yourself, but you rose from the dead because you entered into our hell and destroyed its power in our lives. So we thank you. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to pray a prayer. If you echo that, if that echoes the prayer of your heart, you can say amen after that. Lord Jesus, I need you. I can't even imagine or recount the wrongs, the darkness, the pain and the depression, the sorrow that I have built up over the past. You know my anxieties and fears of the future. But if it is true that by the resurrection of dead, you can cause me to be born again to a living hope, I want that, Lord. So I ask you, Lord, to come and show yourself real to me and give my life to you. Come and take over. I thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice and the crucifixion that enabled me to be in good standing with you, Lord. Now I receive your resurrection. I receive all that you have done for me. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. If there are any of you who have any needs, we're going to be just worshiping the Lord for a little bit. And I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. And usually we have a time in which if you're free, you just stay on. And if you have any need, stay on for any prayer. And we can pray for you. And we will also have the luncheon coming up. Christina, are you there? All right. Feel free to make announcements and we'll take it from there.
All right, so we are transitioning to a few different things, but you can still stay. There's a lot of things going on. So we have our worship team here who's going to be leading us in a time of worship, but the invitation to receive prayer is still very much real and alive. My eyes were closed. So if you are someone who raised your hand and you want to give your life to Jesus, if you receive what Jesus has done for you, that's a big, I'm paraphrasing, but there's pretty much a party in heaven when even one person does that.
Yeah,
so, and there was more than one person, I'm sure, who did that. So we have these contact cards that you can get here or downstairs. We would just love to know you, and we can give you resources and just invite you to connect with our community here.
All right.
But yes, we have a worship team here. You feel free to get prayer. We have prayer ministers who are ready to go and pray for you. If you your first time here, all you have to do is you can raise your hand and we can come to you. Or if you'd like to come in the front, we will come and pray for you. We love doing that here. So feel free to stay. There's new worship here. Let's see. Those other instructions. So the service is now over, but if you still need prayer, just come on up to the front. For those of you who would like to proceed to go downstairs for the Easter lunch, that will be starting soon. And if you are a guest here, we welcome you to join absolutely any table that your eyes have found. There will be a butterfly release and lunch a little bit later, but we'd love for you to join us for lunch downstairs. Around 11:50, that's about 20 minutes from now, there will be the butterfly release outside, and there will be more announcements for that. So children ministries will be finishing around now too, so as lunch begins, please pick up your children and have them join us for lunch downstairs. So I'm going to pray for us for lunch, And then you can either stay here, receive prayer, be in the presence of God and worship, or go downstairs. So I'm just going to pray. Jesus, we just thank you today for your life. We thank you for your death, and we thank you for your resurrection, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for this Easter Sunday, God. We thank you for the power that you give each one who says yes to you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have made a way to make all things new, Lord. We thank you for the fresh start that you give every single man, woman, and child here this morning, God. So we say yes to you. It's a fresh start that no one else can give us and no one else can take away from us, Lord. So we thank you, God. We thank you for the ones downstairs who have prepared the meal for us. We ask that you would bless them, God. Bless the hands who have prepared the meal and has prepared for us. So we thank you for this morning, Jesus. We thank you for the more that you have in store for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, there's something that Christina said. For those of you who need to go down and pick up your children, feel free to do so. Service really is over. But something that Christina said that really struck me. There are people who are here who say, I want a fresh start. I just felt that as I was praying, I just had this phrase, a fresh start. So there are, I believe, people who are saying, Lord, can you give me a fresh start? If you would, come up to the front seats and we will pray for you. Just come up to the front and pray for that. We'll usher you into that and pray with you. God is the one who gives us a fresh start. Let's worship the Lord.